back to the second season of Holochat.
We're back. We did it.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Bonnie.
We're here. Back.
We're here.
We remember how to do this, too. We remembered how to do the intro.
I mean, we should be pretty warmed up, given we recorded, like, a bunch of stuff.
That's true.
That just hasn't come out yet.
So that's true.
You would think we would know how to do things, but here we are.
This is our first episode for y'all, but for us.
Some things have been happening behind the scenes.
But an exciting development is next week, where we would normally post a Holochat, we'll be posting an Imitation recap. That's our big news.
that's some big news. We have been watching Imitation. We have been recapping Imitation. We are going to give you all our thoughts, feelings, and opinions about Imitation. And
to the listener who thought that we were too negative, I wouldn't listen to these episodes.
these ones are not for you. So sorry.
None of the... If you loved Imitation and find no fault in it, I wouldn't suggest it.
Listen. Yeah. I love that for you. I think that's such a great place to be in, just having a good time, vibing and chilling. We are not those people, not for this. So do check it out there. If you haven't watched Imitation and you have no interest in watching Imitation, this is 100% for you, because we can tell you everything. If you haven't watched Imitation and you want to for some reason,
only listen if you love spoilers.
Yeah, because you are going to get them.
Each episode is about as long as an episode of Imitation.
Yeah, but we do cover two episodes, so we are cutting it in half for you, making it less painful because it's not a visual medium, so you don't have to look at spoilers. Maha's wig. So
that's our big season two news. Yes. We're coming in hot with an Imitation recap,
which the people have been yearning for. Imitation. I don't know if you've been paying attention. There's been some chatter about Imitation over the past couple of months. People talking about missing Jungo with the red hair from Imitation, and
which is beautiful.
Yeah, there was a quick rumor that Yuno was going to be cast in a new drama, and that rumor just absolutely dissipated, so I'm brokenhearted about that.
We're recording this just a single day after Yunho's Valorant live stream.
So
Yunho's been very busy.
Sunday March 9th. We also today, just a few hours ago, finally got the SMB music video by Auditore featuring Hongjoong.
Unfortunately, I did not know that, so I haven't seen it yet.
Rachel's behind. She doesn't know what's going on.
Listen, today was also daylight savings time, which has been very hard for me personally. So I took it very poorly. I haven't checked my phone, so I don't know. 18 Evil could be on fire, and I just would not.
It is on fire. It is on fire today, just so you know. I don't know if the SM... I haven't been on since we started recording earlier today, but you're going to find out. 18 Evil, or Tiny Town for people. It's been on fire, and I got the receipts. And that's the premise of today's show is today I'm going to go through my Twitter receipts and talk about what's been going down.
Yeah, I'm still off Twitter, so you have to really inform me of everything that's been happening.
Oh, just you wait. There's some good stuff in here. So.
Still off Twitter. What else do we have in store for season two? We are going to every other week with Holochat episodes, but to wean you off of our weekly schedule, we have the Imitation recap that we will be shoving right in there. And then once that's over, we will be going to bi-weekly episodes.
We have also finally decided on what our yearly schedule is going to be. So we're going to be doing sort of a 4 months on, 2 months off kind of rotation.
Yes.
So we'll be taking June and July off, and then we'll be back for August, September, October, and November, and then we'll be gone for December and January, and that will be the pattern moving forward. So this will be a slightly shorter season, which is why we've still got the every week going on.
It might be the whole season that's every week.
It is.
I don't know how it is. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was just kidding.
Our last Imitation episode comes out the first week of June, I think. And then that's our last episode of the season.
We have also decided, I think last season we really tried to come in with topics for the episodes. This is what we're going to be talking about. And we're not doing that anymore.
I mean, I feel like we might. We might still do something topical. But for the most part, I think it's actually more fun for us if we just talk about what's been going on. And since we'll be doing it on every other week, that gives us a little bit more to cover in between times. Also, we do record 2 weeks before we post, roughly. So if by the time you hear this, all of this news will be at least 2 weeks old. So just keep that in mind.
It's and we not won't that be talking about.
Yeah, it's not that we're uninformed. It's just that we're living 2 weeks in the past.
It's because we very kindly edit our episodes. I think it's very kind of us. Not to say that we like edit huge amounts, but there are times where, you know, where we say stuff like, you know. I say like, you know, so many times, and I leave so many of them in, but I do take a lot out. Yeah. So just realize that however many times I said like, you know, an episode, I probably said it at least 10 more times. But sometimes you can't cut them out. And we cut out some of our ums, and we cut out the dead silence so that it makes us sound smarter because we can respond to questions immediately because I take out the 30 seconds of thinking time.
I was just staring blankly into the screen like, I don't know.
I also, when possible, do cut out my dog barking, but sometimes just not possible.
Listen, Daisy's a character in the Auntini universe.
So that's why it takes us 2 weeks to get them out, because we do edit the episodes down a little bit. We're not editing out any of the conversation or anything. Just
listen, I'm be so real. Sometimes I do edit out things that I am particularly say that lean a little into toxicity. So you're welcome for that. And it is usually me. So
the good news here is that I will be editing all of the Holochat episodes because Bobby is editing all of the Imitation episodes. Mm-hmm. So I get to make the choice on whether things are cut out, and I often leave everything in.
She holds all the power, and she's ready for me to get canceled.
I think everyone should be canceled once. I've already been canceled.
You know, it's like how everybody should work retail at least once. Yeah, everybody should work a public-facing job once. You know, it's just a rite of passage. Do we also want to talk about what else we've been up to?
We did start another podcast.
Yes.
And I did share it on my personal Instagram and my GOM Instagram. Mm-hmm. So the people who follow Old Auntini will already know that we were starting a new podcast.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't actually know how many of our listeners follow Old Auntini. I would assume at least some.
But we are starting a new book podcast because we are both readers. And so we want
to... Listeners know that because we've talked about books on this podcast before.
Yeah, but y'all don't like books. That's the thing that we've discovered. Well, the numbers don't lie.
Not all of you like books. Some of you do like books and you do listen to those episodes. So if you also like books and you want to listen to the episodes where we talk about books, we'll just be doing that in a different place now.
Yeah. It's called Readers of the Lost Art. And in our current season, we are reading murder mysteries from the last 120 years. Mm-hmm. If you're into mysteries, this is a good season for you to jump in. If you're not into mysteries, it's not for you.
Well, you could listen. I actually don't think that reading... We actually recorded our first episode about a book earlier today before recording Holochat, and based on the conversation that we had, I don't think reading that book was necessary.
Don't do it. That's my recommendation, is don't.
It's really strong of us to start a book club and come out with, like, the worst book.
People need to know. I guess maybe they just need to know how negative we are.
I think that people are interested in joining book clubs, and the only way they actually join is if the book is good. But we just started our podcast book club with just like a bad racist book.
I mean, well, the book club really is just us, so we're the only people who really have to suffer for this.
Suffer for our art.
Yeah.
We consider Readers of the Lost Art our spinoff podcast of this podcast. This is the OG. And we're just taking our book talk somewhere else. So if you want to listen to our book talk, come join us there. Join our community. We're going to do some fun things, I think.
So
now to our other community.
So is that all the news?
I think so.
I mean, do we want to talk about recent news before we get into our, because what I have isn't really going to touch on, like, for instance, we've just experienced Fashion Week.
So good.
So Son, of course, was at the Dolce & Gabbana show, looked amazing, looked so much like, okay, who is the actor in, what's the one where the girl goes to North Korea? What's it called? It's super famous. Help me out.
Crash Landing on You.
Yeah. And the name of the actor in that one. Hyun something? Hyun Bin?
Hyun Bin.
Hyun Bin? Is that his name?
I think so.
It is Hyun Bin.
Hyun Bin.
Yeah. Looked very much like a Hyun Bin. So much. With the glasses the slicked back hair. He looked very beautiful. Also, recently just posted a reel with J-Hope.
Oh, that was really exciting.
I know. I don't have a BTS bias. I have been told that my government assigned BTS bias is actually Suga. But I do actually really love J-Hope too. So I'm just going to claim those two together because I can never just have one. That's not how my brain works.
J-Hope is my BTS bias and I am going to see him in San Antonio coming up soon. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, I think J-Hope is so cool. I just think he's the coolest. So, I mean, he's not the coolest because Hwangju is the coolest.
Right.
You know, outside of ATs, I think J-Hope is the coolest. So I just, I really love him. And so it was really fun to see him dancing with Son.
I know. I'm so curious to know, like, how that came about.
And, right?
Like, who, what? Yeah. Like, it was just very exciting.
Who?
I have thankfully not seen any, like, weird negativity about that, you know, from the other side. I don't think if there's a single 18-year-old alive that would be mad that Son is dancing with you. Actually, I'm going to take that back. I'm gonna take it back. I'm sure there are. I'm sure they're out there. But yeah, so that was super fun. Young for the, I think it's Courageous. I don't know how you pronounce it. Mingi, also first time. Yes, shirtless.
No shirt in sight.
With some leather. I saw somebody tweeted, you know, please buy albums so that KQ can afford to buy ATs some shirts. chuckle. So he was wearing like a matching leather ensemble, which apparently was two-tone. It looked fully black in every picture that I saw, but recently people have been posting pictures where you can tell that like the bottom is, it's got like black shoulders brown. And brown underneath, which I was like, I feel like I liked it better before, but okay, whatever. Mingi, first
time. He looked
really
hypey though.
Yeah.
Hyped and happy. Woo-young looked really happy and I loved that for him.
Yes.
And then Mingi's first time.
Yes, for Off-White, I think is the brand.
He also looked so happy. Like he was just having the best time.
Yeah, he wore a really beautiful sort of, it almost not like patchwork but looked like an embroidered kind of leather jacket that looked really good. It was really fun, lots of details. He looked beautiful, always does. But the really important one, Sunghwa, was not only at the, who is it,
Isabel Marant.
Yeah, Isabel Marant. He walked in the show
in
stiletto heels.
Oh, so incredible.
He's been posting some reels of him practicing his model walk.
Uh-huh.
It looked really good. He looked stellar. He blended right in with, like, he was slightly shorter than the other models, but he did, like, vibe-wise, blend right in with everybody. Wore, like, a beautiful black suit with, like, a metallic silver
I love that little, like,
sort of
undershirt vest.
His shoes were two different colors. I think he had a black and a white, I think.
Oh, fun.
Or they were two-tone, but he was wearing classic heels and just really a very bare face, simple hair. He said in an interview that they just wanted him to look like him. Like they didn't want to do like a lot of makeup and stuff. And so he looked so good bare-faced. Just like him in particular has a really, like all of them do. There's not a single ATEEZ member that I'd be like, oh, you should put some makeup on. I would never say that because it's patently false. But Sunghwa especially just looks so like beautiful and earthy in a way, which I think that's why Isabel Marant is a good brand for him because it just matches his vibe so well.
I used to have a principal who was like, there are some people who are good hires, but we don't have the right positions for them. And I feel like we've been waiting for the right position for Sunghwa and this is such a good fit for him. They seem to love him. They gave him like this beautiful necklace gift. There was was it like a heart and a hand?
Yeah, it's
and
a
they
heart
were like,
and a hand.
Oh, that's so pretty. Like, I'm just so happy for him to have found the right position.
And
for
the clip of them like hugging him after the show, they look overjoyed, like genuinely so happy. And every time you see them with him,
they're fawning over him.
Yeah, they look so happy. So that just makes me really happy that he's with people who really appreciate him, who seem to understand his vibe, who really want him to, you know, be able to be himself, but also to challenge him. So that's just, it's just such a nice comfortable relationship. It makes me feel like he's in good hands.
I think it's so great. And he looks so great. He looks happy. All of the people who went to Fashion Week looked super happy about it. Which I think leads us into the bad that came out of Fashion Week, because all of the boys went to Fashion Week.
Yeah, but that's part of my, we'll get there. That's on my list, unless you want to work backwards. But so shall we get into, so I have been, Rachel's been off social media for the most part. Sometimes she sends me a tweet and I'm like, I see you slipping, but you know, it happens to the best of us. But she's been off social media. So I have sort of taken it upon myself to keep track, keep a catalog of all
our resident archivist.
Yeah, I love that should have been like my job is to be an archivist. Anyway, so I've been keeping track of things that have been happening. So are you ready to hear all the nonsense that you missed on Twitter?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. January 5th.
Oh, can I tell everyone about my dream that Eden's president? Speaking of January.
Maybe you should save it for afterwards so that we have something cheerful to end on, because this is not going to end cheerfully. On January 5th, A-Teenies accused Sungwa of homophobia after the Fridge interview, where he says he wouldn't want to receive a banana milk love confession from another boy. Yo stands, make it about Yosung, and go to war against Phoebe.
Okay.
Shall we break this one down a little bit? Because there's layers to this one that it was
I don't understand why Yosung's here in this.
Well, Yosung is here because the story we hear I don't know when he first tells the story, but it is a story that we know. For his birthday back in June, for his birthday, he released a series of music videos, but one of the covers that he released in the video, he shows, like, he puts himself set back in school, and he shows a clip of, like, somebody giving him a banana milk with a note on it that says, like, you've got this, you're doing great, basically. Turns out this is a true story. This is something that happened to him when he was in school, when he was also a trainee and in school at the same time. He was super, super tired. He fell asleep at his desk once and woke up and there was a banana milk on his desk with like a cheerful note, like I'm rooting for you type of thing. But apparently in Korean culture, this is like a banana milk love confession is a thing where you give a banana milk to someone and also confess. Like you put a note on it that says, I really like you. So in the Fridge interview, Yosung, I believe, had chosen I don't remember now what the details were, but one of the foods that one of them had chosen, the premise of the show being that the members go and they fill the fridge with their favorite foods that are like meaningful to them. And then they talk about their favorite foods. And by talking about their favorite foods, they like reveal things about themselves. It's actually an excellent interview and everyone should watch it. So Yosung, Woo-young, Yuno, and Sungwa are there. Yosung, I think, picks banana milk and he talks about, it was Yosung. He picked the banana milk and he's talking about this story and how encouraging it was for him. And the other members kind of tease him a little bit. Because it's kind of cheesy for you to do a banana milk love confession. And Sungwa, who famously went to an all-boys school, the boys are saying something like, oh, Sungwa, you wouldn't want to receive a banana milk love confession. And he says the shirayo, which is, I hate it, which is what it translates to in English sort of most simply. But Phoebe, the translator, is trying to give notes when she's talking. So people, okay, so let me back up. Sungwa says, no, I would hate that. That's how it gets translated in the episode. So A-Teenies on Twitter are really disappointed because that throws all of their, you know, boy love fan fiction just right out the window because Sungwa, as it turns out, is not actually in love with Hong Jung and that just ruins everybody's lives. So everybody's super mad. They take it to mean that he's very anti-gay, which That's a big old jump. Listen, just because I wouldn't want to receive, well, okay, let me back up. Phoebe, who is our translator, one of our translators, one of our most famous translators, she is trying to explain in her like note, she's like, well, it actually translates to something more like that would make me uncomfortable or something like that. She explains that doing a banana milk love confession is very cheesy and, you know, that it would be very awkward to receive that from someone that you're not interested in. So like, even if Sungwa were canonically gay, which who cares if he is or not, that's between him and whoever he ends up being together with. even if he is, that doesn't mean that he wants a love confession from every single boy, because I don't think that's how being gay works. I can't speak on it, but like,
you don't want a love confession from every man, you know, assume.
No, I sure don't.
I also, this is like one of those things too in my head, like the promposals, mm-hmm. I would hate it. Yeah. It literally, like, if my husband had proposed to me in front of other people, I would hate it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that I didn't want him to propose, but I would hate that.
Right.
I would not like that.
So it's just that people are kind of giving this a lot of meaning when it really wasn't like a super meaningful moment. He was just saying, oh, I wouldn't like that. And mm-hmm. they were kind of laughing about it and they were teasing mm-hmm. him. Well, in Phoebe's, like when she's trying to give the explanation,
uh-huh.
Yosong stands, took it as her looking down on this very important moment in Yosong's life where he got the banana milk. And it wasn't even a love confession. It was just somebody cheering him up with the banana milk. Uh-huh. And they were trying to say that she was demeaning him because that was a very important moment in his life. And so she had to like issue an apology for that. And I'm like, you obviously weren't demeaning him at all. And Yosong stands need to step back. And that's foreshadowing.
Okay. Also, mm-hmm. like, don't apologize when you don't do something wrong.
I know. That's frustrating. Yes. As someone who just recently had to apologize to some parents of a student that I teach, even though I hadn't done anything wrong. Don't do it. It's not worth it. But whatever. Okay. So that's January 5th. So okay, that lasted January for 5th. A couple of days. Went away. Nobody's really talking about that anymore. January 9th.
4 days later.
4 days later. An arcane fan discovers and likes ATs, says that they should have been on the OST, gets ratioed by stays and goes private, and it becomes a fan war about Coachella.
Listen, you're never gonna hear me defending stays.
No, sadly, no.
I do have friends who like, basically all of my friends, except for a handful, like Stray Kids. Mm-hmm. And I do have a friend who is just into Stray Kids and is not into ATs. And that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But like, as a group, it's like when I won't defend men as a whole. That doesn't mean I hate all men. Yeah. I'm just not going to defend strays as a whole. Mm-hmm. You won't mm-hmm. see me doing it.
Yeah, well, this is not the last time they're going to show up on this list, so.
I do like it when they not like it. I think it's funny when they bring some bystander into this. Like, this person who liked Arcade is like, whoa. What did I step in? Mm-hmm. My husband watches Arcane, and he is not a fan of Stray Kids. And so he also thinks that ATs should have done the OST.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for context...
Maybe it was husband that got ratioed.
Maybe it was. But for context... His private Twitter. And here's the thing, and this is a thing that ATs talk about all the time. I don't know what Stray Kids is up to.
Right.
Ever. So mm-hmm. am I to understand that they did do the OST for Arcane? Is that what happened?
I believe so. I think, or at least one of them did.
Okay.
I think.
I mean, that gives a little bit of context, but like...
The reason that I think is not because I've seen Arcane or that I know that. My husband told me mm-hmm. that he was watching an anime that he really liked, and then he found out that Stray Kids did the OST. And I am making an assumption that it is Arcane. I do not remember what the anime was. So that's my knowledge of the situation. I'm making an assumption.
Well, that makes it make a little bit more sense, because if they're taking that to mean that AT should have done the OST instead of Stray Kids and not, it sure would have been cool if ATs had also done an OST, which is probably what they meant.
Right.
Then that makes a little bit more sense why Stage just lost their minds. Not that it's okay or ever does actually make sense, but here we go. Now, I do have a good one. So a good one is next.
Oh, exciting.
On January 10th, Dreamcatcher, my favorite girl group, announces the Mini Catcher plush. Their Mini Catcher plush includes a black cat like Woo Young and a pink bunny like Sanghwa. And guess how many ATs accused them of plagiarism and or being inspired by ATs?
I assume zero.
Zero. Zero that I could see. Which I feel like if it was a big enough deal, it would have made it onto my timeline, because I do also follow Dreamcatcher. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a single ATE try to be weird about it. I haven't seen anybody try to say, that Dreamcatcher copied anybody. But if they're talking about two completely separate, like, other groups that I'm not involved in, it probably wouldn't come up on my timeline. Yeah. But I want to give ATEs their flowers and say, hey, thanks for not being stupid about about this one thing.
How to back into this? Let me back up. Mm-hmm. Because obviously this is notable because ATEEZ was accused of copying Stray Kids mm-hmm. for their animals. Like, that's mm-hmm. the only reason this is notable, right? And it was a big thing.
Like, it was a very big thing.
It was not a tiny thing. It was a huge thing.
I complained to my students about it last year, and they still talk about it today. I had one of my students from last year tell one of my students from this year that I needed to tell them the story, the drama with all of the plush. And at first I was like, what are you talking about? And then I was like, oh, yeah. I forgot I complained to y'all about that.
There are only so many animals in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's like point one. Mm-hmm. Of course, some animals are going to overlap. My point two is that I think that the Anatees are much cuter than the Stay ones.
Yeah, and the Skizzoos is what they're called.
Skizzoos. I forgot. I remember I had been so tired of people saying Skizzoo on my timeline that I was like, I never want to hear the word Skizzoo again.
Did you mute it? You were like,
I did. Mm. And apparently it's been excised from my brain because I did not remember it. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember what they look like. I just remember at the time thinking, like, I would be upset too if I had to buy Skizzoo and Anatees came out.
And then they were so much cuter. Uh-huh. I know, because I follow some creators who make stuff for ATEEZ and for Stray Kids. Mm, and so a lot of the Skizzoo stuff shows up on my timeline because mm-hmm. this same creator is making stuff for it. So
yeah, I do see a lot of it. I just don't see the title, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, so I just think it was really nice that ATEEZ had at least the tiniest bit of common sense to be able to say, you know what, just because it's a pink bunny doesn't mean it's plagiarizing Songhwa. Because they are, in my opinion, the mini catchers are so much more like Anatees than Anatees was like Skizzoo. Take that as you will, but you know, they obviously didn't plagiarize. They're just doing a thing that every K-pop group does.
Right.
So I'm not gonna like try to be crazy. So,
and pink bunnies are a common thing. Like,
it's a common thing.
I mean, it's not like a real life thing, but like, open an Easter book and they're there. Like, yeah. You know, pink bunnies have been around. So that's not, no one invented a pink bunny.
Right. January 15th. Mm. We're going to be in January for a while. January 15th, and this one is notable for today, but this is when Odatari releases SMB featuring Hong Jun. The rap appears to diss Bang PD. Is it Bang PD or Bang PD?
I think it's Bang PD because the lyric is bang bang.
Okay, so that's the American pronunciation, not the Korean pronunciation. Mm-hmm. So, Bang PD, the rumor that HYBE once tried to buy KQ and is now blocking ATEEZ from Korean shows resurfaces. Multiple media outlets report on the whole thing. KQ releases an official position, which was, we have no position. Then armies attack ATEEZ for attacking BTS. Stays are also there.
I love this. I think this is super fun. Listen, Hong Jun's rap was great. I hope it was a diss track. I do.
In my heart and mind, it is. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be. And I just think that KQ releasing a statement just to say we don't have a statement is so brilliant. Uh-huh. Because if they admit that it is, then now you're causing a big kerfuffle. If they say that it's not, that's disappointing. But now we live in this in-between space where it's like, I don't know, did he or didn't he? And it's a happy place to be where we can just mm-hmm. imagine our own reality. And it's so mm-hmm. nice.
And in my reality, he definitely went after that man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really great. So, yeah. mm-hmm.
But it did turn into a whole thing. It turned into a whole thing. Mm-hmm. It went back to that, you know, all the data gathering and the commentary that HYBE had been collecting about other groups and how mm-hmm. ATEEZ notably was not on that list.
Yeah.
And then that becoming, you know, just a bunch of fandom fodder, and it was just crazy. But
yeah, there was an argument that, like, why should Hong Jun speak out on this when his group wasn't talked about by Bang PD or by the HYBE papers mm-hmm. or whatever. And I think, you know, one of the things you said is that he's in the industry. He's allowed to comment on what's in the industry,
right,
regardless of if it was directed directly at him.
I think, you know, standing up for the little guy is actually, the littler guy mm-hmm. is actually on brand for Hong Joon and is mm-hmm. more, I think, more admirable than if Hybe had directly come after mm-hmm. ATEEZ. The rumor that Hybe once tried to buy KQ is absolutely unfounded. We have zero evidence of that. I'm not saying that it's not true. I'm just saying that we have nothing to say that is true other than like vibes and conspiracy theories. So just FYI, there's no evidence of that.
Hybe definitely bought a bunch of groups. They did. That's what we have. Yeah. And ATEEZ is a group. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, they bought a bunch of small companies that only had like a few groups under them.
Yes.
And would I be surprised if they had attempted and Sean was like, no thanks? Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised at all. Not even a little mm-hmm. bit. I'm actually very surprised that like Pledis was 17. That is surprising to me that they gave in. I'm like, were y'all not doing well? You have 17. How are you not doing well if you have 17? That makes no sense.
Maybe they just wanted out of the game.
Maybe.
They didn't have the love like Sean has.
Somebody else take care of this for us. All right. So January 18th. ATEEZ, and this is in quotation marks because rumor says they were actually stays, just so happened to run into ATEEZ members on their downtime. This is during the European tour, and just so happened to have multiple albums on hand for them to sign. One ATEEZ complains about San calling hotel security and being cold when she approached him while he and Jong-o were off schedule.
I will say, like, a lot of you are like, this only happens in Europe. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Y'all just react differently than when it happens in America, but because for sure y'all did that in America too, and it was gross mm-hmm. then too. So
like I wouldn't be surprised if this is some of the same people over and over again.
Yeah. I am troubled anytime someone posts a video of themselves meeting ATEEZ mm-hmm. if they are not supposed to be meeting ATEEZ. I don't care if you accidentally run into ATEEZ while you're out. I do care if while someone is out on their private time, you take a video of them and then post it for public consumption. I care a lot about that. Mm-hmm. I will never share a video like that. I hate that. I think it's mm-hmm. so gross. Honestly, I don't even care if you take a video. I care if you share it. Yeah. If you take a video and keep it to yourself, that's your business. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I don't like it when you share it for public consumption. So I like this behavior is gross no matter who does it. There is never a video where they're like, oh yeah, this is how you should do it. And I agree with that because mm-hmm. you should never record yourself meeting someone on private time and then mm-hmm. publicly post it without express permission from that person.
Yes.
So if you said, Sanghwa, may I post this? And he said, sure. Mm-hmm. Then go for it. Yeah. Go for it. But I don't think that that's ever happened. So
not to my knowledge. Usually they like won't let people take pictures of them. Like people will ask, can we take a picture? And they'll say, oh no, we can't. We can't do pictures.
Like, I don't like it. No one carries around albums. No. On their person? Mm-hmm. maybe a photo card. Like, if they had pulled out a photo card, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I carry a photo card on my person.
Just happening to have all of these old albums, too, mm-hmm. for them to sign is super, super sus, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
I once was in a hotel in Canada and I ran into BB Trippin and I didn't say a word. Like, I saw them and I just held it into myself. Mm-hmm. I texted all of my friends who weren't also in Canada. but like, I would never go up to them. I would never approach them. And I don't think I would with the ATEEZ either. Mm-mm. After the concert, I saw them again in the same hotel. And I think I said something like, you guys were so good tonight, which I might be able to say to ATEEZ too, but like that.
But in passing, like a drive-by compliment and off you go.
Right. And like Dojin. What's his real name?
What are we talking about?
Imitation Dojin.
Oh.
What's his real name?
Park Yuri.
I've seen Park Yuri in person. And I said, I really, I'm a big fan. And like walked away.
Yeah. Or kept sitting in the seat that you were already sitting in. Or did you do it at the end?
I did it at the end because I didn't want to make it uncomfortable for him.
See, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I waited. We were all leaving. And I was like, Sandra, I got to say something. And so then I like turned around and I was like, I'm a really big fan. And then I turned and he's like, oh, thank you. And then I turned back around and walked out. And so I did get a secret picture.
Mm-hmm. a secret yeah, but you didn't post it on social media. You just sent it to, like, us.
Yeah. And I never will post it. That's for me. Just like I'll never post my picture of Daddy Sean that I also secretly got. I didn't have the courage to say anything to Daddy Sean.
I don't know who would have courage to say something to Daddy Sean.
I considered it. I was like, should I say I really like ATs? He must see that I'm here. No, in the suite, like, he knows next
that. I would be like, I want to tell him that I love him.
I am compelled. I'm a really big fan of your
work. I am
work.
A big fan of you. You and your vibe are good. You are good to me. Alrighty, so January 20th. Woo Young addresses Aitonese who complained about his rose tattoo. Apparently, some Aitonese said on From it doesn't suit him, and he says that hurt his feelings because the tattoo is very meaningful to him.
I just, anyone who feels the need to comment on their physical appearance in any negative way ever, like, we talk about this with Yosang's hair all the time. Yeah. I need y'all to keep that thought in your head. There are inside thoughts and outside thoughts, and anything that comments on their outward appearance and you not vibing with it, that is an inside your head thought. You do not need to share it with them or publicly with other Aitonese.
Right. I do feel like, I mean, I'm pretty sure these are Caitonese, especially if it's From, which I do think is a lot of Caitonese.
Yeah.
But I do think that the vibe that I'm getting is that in Korean culture, it's much more common to comment on people's appearances.
That's probably true.
Because this does sound like something that Caitonese would be very comfortable just saying, oh, I don't think that really suits you, because they don't really love tattoos over there, is what I'm gathering.
I think they might still be illegal.
I don't think they're still illegal. I think that that's an... I don't know. I don't know for sure.
In Japan, it's illegal to get a tattoo, but it's not illegal to have a tattoo.
Okay.
But it is frowned upon.
Yes. Like, I know for sure. It's frowned upon in Korea, because that's why, like, I think I just saw on Instagram, somebody was talking about one of the Stray Kids has tattoos, but he was saying that JYP won't let him show them. Or I think, I don't know if it was Stray Kids or maybe it was 17. It was somebody, somebody who wasn't ATs. And they were talking about how their company wouldn't allow them to show the tattoos. And I'm like, KQ doesn't care. Like, clearly.
It seems like the boys thought that maybe they would, because they got that, like, thought, like, Woo Young and Song got the, like, thigh tattoo, like, you know, so no one would find out. And I was like, well, you do have to wear shorts sometimes. Yeah. So... No, that's fine. Like, super consider it.
That's boy logic with little not fully developed brains yet. Yeah. So that was really annoying to me because he was hurt by it. And I'm like,
yeah,
no, we're not going to
do that.
Don't
hurt their feelings.
The very next day, actually, this one, like, the trouble starts on the 20th, but the 21st, but it actually, the thing had happened on the 19th. So on January 19th, AT's Morocco account posts a video of AT's and Sean and refers to Sean as AT's father. Aitonese in the quotes get mad and call AT's Morocco a company stan. AT's Morocco capitulates and deletes the post and apologizes almost immediately after. Yosang goes on live and refers to Sean as father, because most of them do.
We all saw the clip where Hongjoong had... Actually, was I there? No, it was in New York. Hongjoong had the crowd chant daddy because Abuji translates roughly to dad. Like it is a sign of respect, and a lot of times you will call other people's dad also your dad in Korean culture, so like it has some different connotations, but roughly it translates to dad. And that is why Hongjoong got the translation of daddy and then he had the crowd chant it, so that's what they call him. So
what do you want us to do? Like, this is not coming from Aitonese, this is coming from ATs. So like, this is canon.
I have to say, like, the really happy thing though.
What?
But I don't think this was big on social media, so it's probably not on your list. When at their final concert.
Well, you're going out of order. That's later. But you can say the happy thing now if you would like to, since it is relevant.
At their final concert in Europe, Eden was there and Sean was there. Daddy CEO. They were both there, and ATs kind of like gave a little shout out to them. They had Daddy CEO chug his wine on the big screen. I think while they were they chanting? I don't remember I think they were chanting chug it. So it's not daddy. But they also had the crowd chant Eden. So that's how much ATs hate Daddy CEO and Eden. They had
I need the everyone to put a pin in that because we're coming back to this later. So.
Okay. All right.
Loosen up a little bit. Here we go. January 27th. So we took a little bit of break. Mm-hmm. A random account masquerading as an official K-pop news account, but which only posts about Big Four groups, hosts a group visual bracket pitting Wooyoung against BTS Jimin. When Wooyoung wins, the admin posts the following. And I have their statement. Are you ready for their statement?
I have not heard about this at all, not even through the grapevine.
Here we go. The account is Music Mundial official statement. Dear participants of the Visual of the Year 2024 voting, at Music Mundial, we are committed to ensuring a fair, transparent, and respectful voting process for all candidates and their fans. Recently, we identified an influx of suspicious, unreal votes specifically for Wooyoung of ATEEZ. These irregularities have affected the transparency of the competition. However, we deeply value the dedication of fans who have been voting legitimately out of respect for their genuine efforts. We will not disregard the real votes cast. To address this issue and ensure a fair outcome, we have decided to halt the current poll while preserving the legitimate votes. To continue the competition in a secure and transparent manner, we will conduct a new poll on our official X account. This platform will allow fans to cast only one vote, giving everyone a fair opportunity to support their favorite idol. The results of this new poll will be combined with the legitimate votes from our initial poll to determine the final outcome. We greatly appreciate the dedication of our community in celebrating the beauty and charisma of the Visual of the Year nominees. Thank you for your understanding and for participating with honesty and respect. Wooyoung also wins the X poll as well, but because they added it to some undisclosed number of real votes, Jimin gets crowned the winner. In the end, ATEEZ respond in outrage and call for ATEEZ to block the account and refuse to participate in any future voting.
That is crazy.
Notably, Wooyoung was the only person not from like a big group, yeah, like, you know, a big four company group, mm-hmm, on this like bracket.
Uh-huh.
And he was specifically pitted against BTS Jimin. And I think they just expected Jimin to sweep it and he didn't. Yeah. And they got mad about it. So that was weird.
Wow. That's crazy. Some people are really crazy and they care so much about the stupidest things. One, I think it's really stupid to have this like competition in the first place. Like, mm-hmm, I, even if I had seen it, I would not have voted because I do not care. I don't need some fake-ass company to tell me Wooyoung is the most handsome man in the world. I can see with my eyes.
Yeah. It never showed up on my timeline ever, so I didn't know anything about it until all of this had gone down in the end. So I was like, I don't know.
Wow. See, these companies, they do come for ATEEZ. Mm-hmm. They do.
See, I don't even think that this is a company. I think this is like five people in a trench coat. Like... just trying to pretend like they know what they're doing. January 31st. Zoe Baptiste, the creator of the viral work twerking challenge, she didn't actually create it as the work challenge. She created the choreo, and then the choreo was used for the work challenge, so the twerking one, attends the Manchester show. Turns out she was invited by KQ and given tickets and a gift. However, when ATEEZ find out she was unable to do the challenge with ATEEZ, they get mad at KQ, even though Zoe herself says that KQ tried, but the schedule was too tight. Some ATEEZ also expected her to be brought on stage, but others point out that she didn't even make the choreo for ATEEZ to begin with. It was an ATEEZ edit that made it popular.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, why are we like this?
They will go after KQ for anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. KQ invited this woman to the show and they tried to do it and the schedule didn't work. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, why would they have prioritized that? This is when I think that some ATEEZ care way too much about virality. It just doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Like, it fizzles out in the end. Like, you might get that little initial boost, but like, look at 50-50.
Prove to me that virality, like, if they had done the work challenge with that Zoe person, like, what is the end result that ATEEZ think that they would have gotten? A viral post. And what would that have gotten them in the end? In the end, ATEEZ made money at their concert. I just need you to connect those dots for me because I don't see it. Like, I've seen viral things. Just because something goes viral doesn't mean that it ever gets money. Like, some sometimes it does, but maybe it doesn't. And ATs needs to make money. They've got shirts to buy, remember?
Yeah, we gotta get those shirts, y'all. Some of them are cold. All right, February 2nd. And this is a good one. It's very cute. ATs stage a fake Shax versus Sparkling fan war. That's it. It was just, it went on for like a day or so, but it was very funny and I enjoyed it. And I like it when ATs are creative and cute and fun. And so I would like to point that out and say, please, more of that, please, and less of the stupid stuff that you're currently involved in.
A lot of, I will say that a lot of your stuff on this list is not necessarily about ATs. It's about other things. All right, well, I know we're going to get there, but some of it was about stays. There was the fake news article.
Well, I got a rough one coming up for you.
I got a rough one that happened yesterday. So I'm aware that ATs get up to some shit. Okay. I'm just saying that a lot of
Okay,
I'm ready.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
February 4th. At the Amsterdam concert, they are, for some reason, passing the mic around to let ATs talk. So they're doing the thing where, like, ATs get to pick the boss. You probably know what this is now. And ATs, I have her username, but I'm not going to say it because I think she's already been pretty thoroughly canceled at this point. She grabs the mic from her friend, who was the one that was chosen, says that all of ATs are handsome. When her friend says Mingy, which you can hear her say because of the mic, she says no with disgust. She does like this kind of face. Then it turns out she was one of the people who spread the mistranslation accusing Mingy of liking the pedophilic anime back in the day. And a clip spreads of her at the Courage's the last fashion week touching Woo Young's arm, like without his permission. She ends up deactivating. Have you seen this clip?
I have seen the clip. Listen, I've talked about this with Cassandra several times because I think one of the first things that the girl came out and said was that it was a skit. She was like that was her excuse, like that this was a skit. And I was like, you know, because Cassandra and I go to concerts together all the time. And I was like trying to puzzle this out with her. I was like, let's just play this out. What is the conversation that leads to this skit? I'm like, hey, if you get the mic, I'm going to pretend to be a bitch to you. and then I'm gonna, you know, say something else. One, you can't plan to get the mic, right? Like, what is the planning for that skit? That's a crazy, like, so, like, I just, the mechanics of how you make that into a skit is very confusing to me.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I did see that clip. I am familiar with the user. I don't know, like, I have never met her, but I do have a friend who is friends with her, and I did not ask my friend about it because I didn't want to get in a fight with my friend. So
I'm like, you know what? I don't think there's anything she can say at this point that makes anything that she did okay. I don't care if you planned it out. You were insulting to Mingy to his face.
Right.
And that's it. I don't care if it was fake. I don't care. Like, I don't care about so much about her snatching the microphone. Fine, whatever. I don't care. But it is the out loud, in public, in front of everybody, including all of ATs, trying to being disrespectful to Mingy. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But no.
The whole thing was really, it is very bizarre to me, that behavior. I cannot imagine either you or Cassandra or our friend Rachel getting a mic and me and being on camera and me being like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna snatch this mic. I literally, it is unfathomable to me that thought process would come. The other thing that was said was they had really given the mic to her, but there was a misunderstanding about who was supposed to take the mic.
I don't care.
Like, I don't care if Jungho himself is like, you, Rachel, you're the one. And then the guy that's handing out the mic gives it to Cassandra, and Cassandra has the mic and is talking.
Cassandra is Rachel now.
You chose her, right, Jungho? pointing at her. Like, I can't imagine a world where I would snatch that mic from her. Unless she was, you know, in the process of handing it to me. And it didn't look like that was what was happening.
No, that's not what it looked like. But again, that's not even the part that I care about. Like, I don't care. I don't care if you stole the mic from whoever. I don't care if they originally picked you and you were just getting it back. None of that matters to me. What matters to me is how you treated Mingy to his face. And I'm not okay with that. So that's the end of the story for me.
It was really upsetting. Was it the next day It was around the same time. There was a post that was going around on Instagram that was like, we have to protect Mingy from this because he's sensitive.
Yeah. He's mentally weak, I think, was what I saw you had sent me. And you were like, no.
Yeah, I almost lost my mind. No, Mingy is quite strong.
Yeah.
The fact that he was able to recognize that he needed a break and asked for a break and took a break and then came back, that shows a mental fortitude that most people do not have.
Yeah.
Mingy is incredibly strong. So we are not going to imply that Mingy is weak because he took a break when he needed a break. That is bullshit.
Yeah, for real.
But also, no member should be insulted by their fans to their face ever. So, you know, multiple things can be true.
Also, on this same day, I get a little bit of good news, and this one's really just for me and for anyone who ever watches, who watches like a lot of YouTube. The video game YouTuber Markiplier, who I think most people are aware of, he's one of the few like video game YouTubers I still watch. Like, I used to watch a ton, but I really just check in with him every now and then just because I like his vibe. But his girlfriend Amy is, I found out, was an A-tiny. She went to one of the recent concerts, and then I also learned that apparently Mark's cousin used to be a makeup artist for A-T's, and I was like, well, that's fun. Recently, and this kind of led to like a small little skirmish, not really a real fam war, so I didn't put it on the list, but Mark was on live and he said that he liked work by A-T's because Amy plays it all the time, because that was how this came out. He was playing one of his games and he said, oh, I gotta work, gotta make that money, make purse, and then like just like casually dropped that in his little chat. So when he said that he liked work, some A-tinies kind of, you know, they went overblown. They're like, oh, he's an A-tiny too. And then some people who, I don't know if they were like fans of other groups or if they were just like Markiplier fans and not K-pop fans, were like, just because he likes that song doesn't mean he likes A-T's. And they were like super mean about it. So it was just like a little thing, and it kind of went back and forth for a little bit, but then it wasn't a big deal in the end. So anyway, but that was just a little fun little tidbit for me, you know, worlds colliding in a pleasant way. So that's fun. February 7th, Hongjin releases his Beat It cover and gets attacked by armies who are still mad about SMB.
That Beat It cover was super fun.
It was.
I loved it. I think it's great. And I loved Hongjoong's message at the end. I love Hongjoong's thought process. I love his creative drive. I love everything about Hongjoong. I think Hongjoong is so good. So fuck all y'all.
February 8th. I've got two different ones on February 8th. It was a rough day.
Not for me.
Not for you. You were having a great time. So on February 8th, I don't know if you're remember that one Jack Bridgeland did the shoot with Mingy and Hongjoong.
Yes.
And then Lisa also used him for one of her recent songs, and people were accusing her of blackface.
Yes,
but they did not accuse Hongjoong and Mingy, one, because they don't look black, they don't look anything approaching black, they just look slightly tan. But people tried to bring that up because this had happened before. When it happened the first time, people brought ATs into it, and ATs were like, well, this is not about us, why are we here? But people tried to do that again, trying to say that K-pop stans are misogynistic because Mingy and Hongjoong didn't get accused of being racist when Lisa did get accused of being racist. And ATs were, again, like, we don't go here. Leave us alone. This isn't about us.
Lisa's got, like, a lot of things going on. So there's lots of reasons outside of us and ATs. Like, there's just, she's got her own things going on.
She has her own history, her own lore. Where I'm just not even going to touch it. I don't have an opinion on it because I'm unfamiliar with her.
So. Oh, I do have an opinion on her, what is the, her alter ego. and my opinion is that it's hilarious. So, that's my opinion. That's the only opinion I have. That I read the title that her alter ego drinks tears and has no fear. Is that, I feel like that's pretty close. And I was like, well, that is the funniest thing I've ever read. So that was, that's my whole opinion.
This day was also a day we get another Mingy incident. When at one of the concerts, an Atini had taken a poster that says, Mingy, want to go eat ramen. And then it has a condom.
I remember this.
Drawn inside a heart is a condom stuck to the poster. And they said, because Mingy pointed at it and like smiled, that that obviously means that like he was down, which I'm like, I don't know that he probably recognized what that tiny little square on your poster from several feet away was, but whatever. So Atini's got really mad about that.
Funny.
Maybe he thought it was funny, but a lot
or
of
Atini's... Or he thought it was inappropriate. It's hard to say.
Yeah. I mean, hard, really impossible to say because, you know, he's not going to come out and say, wow, that was super weird that Atini did that, because he's not going to upset the Atinis. Mm-hmm. But Atinis were very mad about this. I, too, was like, can y'all get it together? This is so disgusting and gross, because if a man did this to a female idol, there would be an outcry. Mm-hmm. I do not think that equality means we should all be equally rude and gross to each other. Like, I just don't think that's what it should mean.
Truly, for me, like, I would never take a sign that says, hey, Jungho, do you want a Netflix and chill? Like, that's not my vibe. I would never do that. If someone else did, I would be like, okay, whatever. Like, it really wouldn't faze me at all. It is putting the condom on it that is, to me,
the condom puts it over the edge.
Yeah. Like if I saw someone waving a condom at Jungho, I would be like, that's a lot. Like, you need to, like, that's too much. You need to rein it in just a bit.
Yeah.
It is putting the condom on it for me. That's like, you took it too far. The other one is like in poor taste, but it's like in poor taste in a way that's like, whatever.
Yeah, it's at least a little cheeky.
Yeah.
The condom makes it super obvious that you are petitioning them for sex, and it's like, gross. February 11th. Sun posts the sticky challenge. Kissies, who are the Kiss of Life fandom, they like it. Mm-hmm. One Kissy says he is the hottest male idol in the fourth gen. Stays get mad and make it about Hyunjin.
I don't even know what Hyunjin looks like, so I can't.
When I think of Hyunjin, I remember his long hair from Kingdom Times, but that's when he had to go on hiatus for being a bully. Allegedly, I guess. I don't know if that was ever proven or like what really happened with that. But that's how I remember them. He has a very like strong brow and a very like heart-shaped kind of face. Like, he's got kind of a sharp chin, I believe. Like, he's got a very nice, he looks nice. Like, he's an idol. Of course, he's beautiful. But like, they got super mad that this person that is not even like a boy group stan was just like, wow, I think Son is hot. And Stays are like, well, why don't you think Hyunjin is hot? And it's like, is that what I said? Like, it's crazy.
Well, good for Son. it
was a nice little moment. February 13th. And you know this one.
Do I?
Okay. Washington, D.C. area fan base organizes a giveaway project with Vandy the Pink.
Oh, yeah.
For an Atini to win the second copy of Hong Jun's custom No One Like Me jacket. Mm-hmm. When it is announced, even though Vandy likes the post, people assume it's not legit and that this fan base is undermining Hong Jun. Atini start harassing the brand and the fan base, leading to the cancellation of the event like 24 hours after it is first posted.
I did hear some, you know, there's been a lot of rumblings about that, and I don't think the truth ever truly, like, I don't think we know exactly what happened, because there were some implications that KQ had not approved this, but also, did KQ have to? They didn't own the jacket. Hong Jung said he didn't know about it. That doesn't mean that it bothered him. So there was like a lot of things. The point is that y'all have got to stop sending emails that are crazy to everyone. like you can be more chill about things. You don't have to insult Vandy the Pink.
You can also wait until some details come out. Like, instead of just jumping on things immediately, you don't have to assume the worst. You can let things develop before you speak on them. I'm just saying.
Vandy the Pink had gifted that jacket to Hong Jung, I believe, like originally, and they said they had made two. And as far as I can tell, that was something that Vandy the Pink made. So you can think it's distasteful that he did it, but I'm not actually sure that KQ had to be involved for this giveaway.
Right.
Because it was Vandy the Pink's thing.
It's not a Hong Joong brand thing. Hong Joong isn't like making money from the sale of the jacket. Mm-hmm. It was just a gift from the brand to him. I think it's a little weird that they made two, and now it's like, well, what's going to happen to the other one? Since
light it on fire.
I guess that's what A&E's want. February 22nd. A Katenee. This one's just a side note. This one's just a lulz for me. A Katenee says that KQ doesn't invest in the Korean fandom.
That was good. Yeah.
You can imagine how well this went over on Twitter. It was, people were like, what? Excuse me? What are you talking
That's
about?
That's all they do.
Those are the only people they know how to invest in. Like, they're not investing in America. They are reaping rewards from America. They are just milking us for our money. That is what is happening.
They're not targeting us with anything. Mm-hmm. They are not doing special things here. They're not doing free fan meets here multiple times a comeback.
There is not anything here that's free.
Hello 82 dance thing. That was free.
That was free.
But you did have to win your spot in by being beautiful and dancing. So, you know.
That was just a little tidbit for me. February 25th. It is revealed some A&Es sneaked into send-off by reusing old VIP lanyards. Everybody gets mad. So some tweets I have here. Just so you know, some people with Sector VIP actually went to send-off somehow yesterday night, probably reusing old Ultimate lanyards and getting barricade before ults. To say I'm livid is an understatement. These people always play the role of the justice on here and then just reveal themselves to be the most double-faced people ever. I am so disappointed. And then someone says, not again, this happened way too often at the last few stops. And then someone French says, you agree to pay 500 euros for barricade and you complain when a person doesn't accept and fucks the system, but we are the problem. Okay. I don't know what that means. So there was a lot of drama with the send-offs in Europe.
There was.
Also with some of the pop-ups where people were going in with like suitcases and just packing the suitcases full of stuff, which I have feelings about.
I have some feelings about it. I have a group chat that Cassandra and I kind of have other people in, and it's just about like trading and stuff. And people were really like going hard on those GOMs who like went with the suitcases. And it did annoy me because I was like, hey, that's what we were all trying to do. Like I agree that those GOMs should have limited the amount, but you were all trying to send a GOM to buy those things. Mm-hmm. That's what everyone in this group chat was trying to do. So I don't know how hard we need to go on these GOMs who were able to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I also tried to send a GOM to get me those cards. Mm-hmm. They did not get them for me. My GOM was unsuccessful.
I feel like the real villain here is having area specific merch and PCs.
Which ended up not being true anyway because Makestar did sell them online later. I think it's really bad to go after GOMs for a thing that these people were trying to do. You wanted to be able to get them and you were sending other people to get them in your stead. So the fact that other people were able to do that, you can't be mad. The people who are in the city and cannot get them, they can be mad. Mm-hmm. You can't be mad.
February 27th. Some A&Es get mad that Yuno is Catholic. So
end of sentence.
Yeah. I've got a series of tweets here. We're almost done. I've only got two more to do. Okay. So, one person tweets, Yuno's biggest red flag is living like a man. This is right after he had gotten home and he tweets the picture of his just Pudongi. Sparse bed and it's just Pudongi laying there. And people are like, he's got so much money. Why does he live like this? A person replies, he's 6-foot-tall Korean man, Valorant gamer, has an obsession with Spider-Man, and his bedroom has the aesthetic of a prison cell. He's also scary competitive. If it wasn't for his big, pretty brown eyes and killer smile, we'd be having different conversations about him. I don't think so. And then someone who appears to be a Yuno and Mingi stan tweets, you forgot the most glaring one, Catholic. And this becomes like a whole thing on Twitter where people are defending Yuno for his religion that means so much to him. And I'm like, well, he's not like he's going to mass every single weekend. He's, you know, he goes occasionally to like big, pretty churches. That's all we really know about him and his relationship to Catholicism.
He went with the CEO, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, I think that's nice. It's fine. We can all calm down. That's what we can do.
It's just one of those things. I don't need to comment on Yunho's religion until he starts telling me to do things because of his religion. And when he starts doing that, then I'll start commenting on it. But until then, I'm good.
Yeah, you do you, baby. March 2nd. Stays get mad that Pop Bass tweets about San at Paris Fashion Week. Or not Paris Fashion Week. He might have been at the other one. Milan Fashion Week. And not Hyunjin, who went for Versace.
How dare Pop Bass?
How dare they? How dare they? Last one. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
March 8th.
That's yesterday?
This is yesterday. We are back up to the present. So here we go. March 8th. Yosang stands. Talk about sending trucks because of Yo's lack of opportunities. Fans say it's the only way to get KQ's attention. They request respectful messages and for Kate needs to get on board. A weird subset also blames Hongjoon. ? I don't know where that came from, but that is where we are now. Is people are now pushing back on people bringing Hongjoon into it. That's the big pushback. But listen, I've been warming up for this. So if you have things to say, you should get them in now.
Okay. Well, I will say that I'm not on social media very much. The listeners know that I hold a teeny with a big long stick. Like they're way over there and I'm over here because ever since they came after me for wearing an Eden shirt, I do not forgive them. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You're not forgiven. I can love who I want. Mm-hmm. And I do have things to say about Eden later. You said I could tell about my dreams. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll save that. But I was not at all surprised when Cassandra was like, oh, it's really cool that everyone's been going to Fashion Week, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, have the Yosang stands flipped out yet? Mm-hmm. And like a couple hours later, she's like, oh my God, they're sending trucks. And she was like devastated. Like this really hurt her. Like, how could they do this? Why would they make this about them? And I was like, that you did not expect this is crazy to me because like it didn't faze me at all because I was like, yeah, that's what they do. They're crazy.
As soon as another member gets anything. Yosang stands get all riled up because the Songhwa stands used to do it too. Mm-hmm. The Wooyoung stands have done it too. Mm-hmm. The Mingi stands have done it. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as any other member gets anything, all these other people want that exact same thing for their boy and they want it right now.
Right now.
And like, I'm going to be so calm. I'm not going to yell and scream. I'm going to be so chill. But here's the thing. Y'all cannot keep playing the ATs from a small company card. You cannot keep playing that and then in the same breath be mad that KQ is unable to just buy opportunities. Listen, people have been going on and on and on about how Wooyoung and Mingi and Songhwa and San and Hongjoong have created like valuable relationships with the people that they're working with. How, you know, we were just talking about how Isabel Morant also obviously just like loves Songhwa to death. We've talked about how whoever the Dolce and Gabbana daddies are, how they love San to death.
Oh my God.
We've talked about how we have talked about how, you know, Hongjoon seems to have a legitimate like relationship with Olivier Roosting, I think. You can't be like, look at all these organic relationships and then in the very next breath be mad that KQ hasn't forced an organic relationship for Yosang. You can't do it. That's not how this works. Listen, if KQ could have every single one of their eight boys in some sort of partnership with a fashion house, they would do it. It would be done. It would have been done already. KQ loses nothing through the, like, they just have to buy a plane ticket and they can handle a plane ticket. But like the boys get so much exposure, they get all of these gifts. It's like they're so well taken care of by these companies. KQ wants that for all the boys. There's no reason for KQ to be like, but not Yosang. We don't want him. We don't want to send him to Fashion Week. Of course they want to send him to Fashion Week. What are you talking about? It's just madness to me that they cannot see that their logic just completely crumbles as soon as they start demanding that KQ do all of these things. KQ would love to do these things. Listen, you and I know Yosang is beautiful and perfect, and any brand that doesn't want him are the biggest idiots on the face of this earth, and we cannot imagine a brand being like, no, thank you. But there are also other things we have to consider. Yosong doesn't have a huge social media presence. He doesn't right. ever post on his Instagram. Like, rarely post on his Instagram. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's not really pushing himself out there. Whereas, like, Sogma posts all the time. Hong Joon posts all the time. Mm-hmm. San posts all the time. So, like, I'm not saying that he's doing a bad job. I just don't think it's something that he wants. He's not showing himself as someone who is dying to go to a fashion week. Like, it just doesn't really seem like it fits him. And I feel like all these fans, they don't want it for Yosong. They want it for themselves. They want the bragging rights. They want to be able to tweet and get all of this exposure in their tweets. Like, mm-hmm. that's what they want. They're not wanting something for Yosong. They're wanting something for themselves. And it's just selfish and stupid. And I'm just like, and the fact that they are so willing to steal spotlight from other members to right. take a moment for Sanghwa and for this is Mingi's first fashion week. This is Sanghwa's first walk at fashion week. And they want to turn it into KQ is being cruel to Yosong. That is so stupid. And also, some people, a lot of the people who are going after Hong Joon, they're making it about line distribution. And oh my, I can't with the line distribution arguments anymore. I can't. Mm-mm. I can't do it. There is nothing that KQ can do to make the Yostans drop the line distribution argument unless he starts getting more lines than everybody else in every single song. The line distribution has been so much more even and balanced over the past few albums, and nobody wants to acknowledge that. They just right. want to be mad. And also, I saw somebody post, they were like, the fact that some ATNEEs didn't even know Yosong could dance until recently, that's on ATNEEs.
Yeah.
Yosong gets featured in like every single AT's choreo.
Yeah.
Every single one. There is a Yosong moment. Every single one since Pirate King.
Yeah, because he was supposed to be like the visual center.
And y'all want to be like, yeah, but ATNEEs didn't know he could dance? Okay, well then ATNEEs are idiots because they're just not right. paying attention.
Well, that's like the people who said that they didn't know that Ooyoung could sing. That's weird of you because I've consistently said for months, for years, that his parts in songs are the ones that stand out to me. Mm-hmm. That his parts are the most interesting. And now y'all are like, oh, we didn't even know he could sing. Like, you haven't been listening to their songs then. I just don't care. Like, you mm-hmm. haven't been listening to their songs.
Well, it's hard to listen to the song when you're sitting there with your stopwatch. So I guess I can understand that then.
But one of the things about the trucks specifically, I want everyone to like walk through this logic experiment with me. I'm walking into my job, all right? I have to go here every day. I'm going to my job. I go there every day. I'm just doing my job and I'm sitting next to my boss and we look out the window and it says, please treat Rachel better on this truck. Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to say to my boss? How am I supposed to continue to go to work comfortably when I have these people who are being crazy in my name? Am I supposed to be like, I'm sorry about that. Mm-hmm. That's embarrassing for me.
Yeah, if I were Yosong, I would be embarrassed. And I feel like what's going to happen is he's going to be like, I'm not doing enough. I am not doing enough to satisfy the ATNEEs. They are dissatisfied with my performance. You're just going to make him feel like he's inadequate. I guarantee it. This is not going to be like Yosong being like, oh, wow, I'm so glad everyone's on my side. He's going to be like, oh no, I'm not doing well enough for people.
Oh no, I have to put myself out there and go to a fashion show, even if I don't even know that I want that. Yeah. It's literally, like, I cannot imagine a situation where someone would send a truck about me and I have to go face the people in my workplace. Mm-hmm. Like, Yosong is a grown man. That would be so embarrassing for him. Mm-hmm. Even if he feels that way, even if he feels that KQ is not doing a good enough job for him, mm-hmm. it would be so embarrassing for him to not be able to speak for himself.
Yeah.
That would be so embarrassing. I would be so embarrassed.
I would be mortified if people felt like they had to go to bat for me in a mm-hmm. time when I could very well go to bat for myself. Like, I didn't ask for your help.
That is so, it's so, y'all, get it together, please.
I have said this before, but at what point will KQ have achieved more lines for Yosong? Mm. When will it be enough? When will KQ have achieved more opportunities for Yosong? Like, where's that line? what you've, like, if you're going to complain about him having not enough line distribution, you need to be specific. How will you know when they've done the thing that you've asked them to do? If you're just saying, we want more, what's more? How much more? Because they've given us more. But mm-hmm. now you're like, we know that's not enough. So like, mm-hmm. okay, we want Yo Song to have 30 seconds of vocals in every single mm-hmm. song. It's stupid, but it's at least something that you can like make clear.
We want Yo Song to have more lines than four other members,
they want. We want Yo Song to have more lines than Jongo. That's what we want. We want him to be better than Jongo. I want him to have more center time than Woo Young.
I actually think if Jungho, Mingi, and Hongjung didn't change, mm-hmm. but then it was Yo Song next, and it was always Yo Song next, mm-hmm. I think they'd be happy.
Yeah.
But it has to always be Yo Song next. It could never be another boy next.
No, never.
Someone has to get the least amount of lines in a song, and sometimes it will be Yo Song, and sometimes it will be other.
It's not always Yo Song. It's not. It's just, that's just facts. Nice. He also is not allowed to sing with anybody else. If he's singing with somebody else, he's being diminished.
That doesn't count.
He has to sing by himself. And I think that's one of their problems, is that Yo Song is very often layered with other members because he blends so beautifully with other members. But whatever, that's not enough for them.
Every Yo Song stan is an expert producer. Mm-hmm. So they know exactly how these songs could be produced in a better and different way.
I will never forget when they did the Justin Bieber Stay cover, or Kid Laroi featuring Justin Bieber Stay uh-huh. cover. Yo Song didn't have words. He had O's. He just sang uh-huh. oh. And people were mad, and they felt like those lines were less worthy because they didn't have words in them.
Why? Those parts were beautiful.
And I'm like, huh? Like, I'm sorry, does the not having words make his voice less beautiful? Is that what you're trying to tell me? And it's, I think it all goes back to capitalism.
If the line is wordy enough. If the line has,
so they're going to have to put that on the truck. They're going to have to put that on the truck, that he can't sing with other people. He needs to be number four in the line every single mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And he has to only have words. Like, he needs to have 20% more words than Son, Yuno, and Songhwa.
A lot of times, Jungho's parts are also the, like, O's and the...
Well, he'll get, like, a word, O's. Like, three words, but he holds one out for a really long time.
Yeah. So... There are plenty of songs where Jungho has a single line, and it is mm-hmm. just that line appears multiple times. mm-hmm. Do they have to be different words, or would that be enough?
Put that on the truck, Aitonese. Make sure you put that on the truck. And when we talk about more opportunities, they're going to have to be clear about which opportunities count, because he right before they left had a solo schedule where he was at like a women's basketball game, I think, mm-hmm. and couldn't make a free throw to save his life. Poor thing, but same. So. Nobody really talked about that.
Is it enough if he goes to Fashion Week, or does he have to also walk in the runway now because Songhwa has walked in the runway?
Is he going to have to surpass the other members? Is he going to have to like be at multiple Fashion Weeks, or is it never going to be okay until he catches up with everybody else? Because that's part of the problem with the line distribution, is that it was pretty rough in the early days, but he stated that, you know, it wasn't going to be a lot in the early days. And people have gone back and forth. Some people said that he said he felt a little less confident about his vocals, and some people were like, he never said that. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to go back into the V Live archives to try to pinpoint the place where Yo Song talks about his own vocals, but
I also don't know any of the private conversations that they have had in that company about songs, vocals, line distribution, how, like, I just, what he said one time on V Live does not represent everything that he's ever said to the people that he works with every fucking day. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I just feel like nobody demeans Yo Song like his fans do.
I know.
It's so frustrating. You ignore the contributions that he makes. Nothing he does is ever good enough for you. And here's the thing. If you want him to get opportunities, the thing that speaks is money. That's what speaks. So mm-hmm. you need to be talking about him on social media. You need to be posting him. You need to be watching his content. You need to get those numbers up, because those numbers, those views are going to translate into people being like, oh, wow, he does have a lot of fans who really want him to be on places. And I kind of feel like for Yo Song, we're going to have to do a little bit more, because he is very shy. He doesn't put himself out there the same way that the other members do. And that's not me critiquing him. That's me being like, same. I get that. that. He might need a little help.
He's not just shy, because I think Jung-ho is shy too. Mm-hmm. But I think Jung-ho's really good at like making connections with people. And I think mm-hmm. Yo-song feels a little awkward until he's like surpassed a mm-hmm. stage. And like, I think he's talked about that. Like, I'm not like making that up. He, you know, he feels uncomfortable meeting new people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that makes it hard for him to make those personal connections that mm-hmm. lead to the brand deals that the other boys have had. And it's not a bad thing. It just, maybe Yo-song's path looks a little differently. That doesn't mm-hmm. mean he's not going to have a good path. It's like what I said at the beginning about Sanghwa and my principal. Just because someone is really good doesn't mean that we have the right spot for him. Mm-hmm. We've got to find the right fit for Yo-song. I don't want him to just have a deal because KQ paid for it. I want him to be adored like Sanghwa is. Because mm-hmm. Yo-song deserves that. He deserves mm-hmm. to be adored and fawned over and beloved for who he is and how who he is represents the brand.
If that even is a thing that he even wants. And he's
right.
never said that, to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. He's never expressed. He and Jung-ho both, because people are also kind of trying to push for, now we need to get Jung-ho at Fashion Week. Why? Why?
Like, Jung-ho has never expressed any interest in going to Fashion Week. I don't think that Yo-song has either. I agree. Like, I don't think he has. Mm-hmm. I would argue he's expressed slightly more than Jung-ho.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, there are certain designers that I think Jung-ho would be honored to attend.
Yes. I'm not saying that he would be, like, mad that they're trying to make him go to Fashion Week, but I do think he'd rather go fishing. Like, 100%.
I mean, I think he would go. I think he would be honored if there mm-hmm. were certain, like, I think he has brands that he loves, and if those mm-hmm. brands asked him, he would be honored to go. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something he's hunting for.
And I think that's fine. I don't think he needs to do what everybody else is doing. I think it is okay for him mm-hmm. to just pursue the parts of the idol life that he wants. There's so mm-hmm. much that these boys already have to do that they don't necessarily mm-hmm. love to do. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that, I think, especially with Jung-ho, where there mm-hmm. are parts of this idol lifestyle that aren't like things that Jung-ho loves. But he does it. He goes to work and does his job. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that I don't want him to have to do more just to satisfy the fans. Jung-ho is one of those people, he's here for the music. Mm-hmm. He really is here for the music. Now he should also be here for the acting. Jung-ho, mm-hmm. I know you want to. So.
And Jung-ho also is here for, like, he does love his fans so mm-hmm. much. And he would do whatever they want him to do. And so if his fans got together and pushed hard enough, I think he too would feel like he had to do it mm-hmm. to please them. Like, mm-hmm. I think he really wants to please his fans. And I think that's a little heartbreaking. So do consider that.
Yeah. Can we please just be a little less about ourselves and a little more listening to what the boys are actually saying would be so
if
nice.
If Jung-ho or Yo-song says, I want to go to Fashion Week too,
I'm 100% on board. Yeah. That's what we'll do.
And we'll figure out a way to do it. And mm-hmm. It would be cool if KQ could just do it, but mm-hmm. they're never going to be able to unless ATEEZ turns into BTS.
Yeah.
Like, they're just not.
BTS became BTS because of the music and really excellent timing and some really good look. They didn't do it through fashion. So
ARMY played like a huge part in BTS.
I would argue they played the largest possible part.
What I'm saying is it wasn't big hit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be KQ. No. They just don't have the ability to do that. Mm-hmm. If they did, they would have already done it. If they did, anyone would do it.
Right.
I would debut my idol group.
So, shall we, just to, after
talk
all
about my
of that,
Eden dream.
You will talk about your Eden dream, and then I think we should talk about, like, things that we are looking forward to coming up over this next season or so. Maybe make, like, some dreams and hopes and wishes for each boy to kind of counterbalance all of the anger that we've just exercised.
Okay. In the past 2 to 3 months, I have had 2 dreams about Eden. Mm-hmm. The first one was... maybe I already said this one on the podcast. Did I?
This is our first episode. So I don't think so.
Well, I was trying to, like, remember when it happened. It was the day of Trump's inauguration, which was in January, correct? Right. That That's when presidents are traditionally inaugurated.
Presidents become inaugurated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So January 22nd, I think.
On January 22nd, I awoke, you know, to like the world being on fire. But I, in my heart, was feeling like joyous because I had just had this dream that the Supreme Court had said that Trump could not be president because he was going to jail. Mm. He was going straight to jail. And it was so lovely. And so the runner-up was going to get to be president. And the runner-up was Eden. And Eden had been born in the U.S. because you do have to be a U.S. citizen to, mm-hmm. and I think even born in the U.S., not, like, you have to be born in the U.S. to mm-hmm. be a president.
Yes.
And so he had been secretly born in the U.S.
Ooh.
And then whisked away to Korea as a young mm-hmm. boy. Mm-hmm. And he had come back to America to save us from mm-hmm. ourselves. So, you know, he was, like, giving his speech and he was like, I'm just as surprised as anyone that I've become president. But I'm going to do a really good job. And I was like, yes, baby, you are. And then I woke up and I realized that I was living in the real world and not the dream world. And it was so devastating.
It must have been a really terrible time for you.
It was so bad. So that was my first Eden dream. And I did hold that in my heart for a long time. I really carried it around with me. Mm-hmm. My second Eden dream was the other night. It was after my Korean class. I'm in a Korean class. I just had the roughest Korean class that night because my Korean teacher had found my Instagram, my old Ontini Instagram. Mm-hmm. And she had played for the class. At first, I was very excited. We're all in class. It's a Zoom class. Everyone's there. So there's like 16 of us. We're on mm-hmm. this Zoom call. And she starts playing Enough by ATEEZ and says that she found this song and that she really loves it. Mm-hmm. And she's going to download it. And she wants everyone to listen to it. And so we're listening to Enough. And it's like the, you know, the Zoom call music video. So I was like really jamming, mm-hmm. watching this music video. And then as soon as it ends, she was like, and now watch this. Mm-hmm. And it was my video call with ATEEZ where they were singing Enough that I had like compiled it into one song.
Oh, no.
And so she like plays this for the class. Mm-hmm. And in that video, I do like sing along. Mm-hmm. I was so embarrassed. It was so embarrassing. But the thing is, she must have really liked the song because I don't say like what that song is. I might have said it in the like context, but like mm-hmm. she went and found the music video. I didn't like mm-hmm. send it to her. So she must have really liked the song and like did her own research to find it.
It's a great song.
It is a great song. But she played that. So this was after Korean class. I had like fallen asleep. I'd had a really rough time in Korean class. Mm-hmm. And I had a dream that Maddox was actually my Korean teacher.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And he had gotten me a job at KQ. Mm-hmm. And he and Eden picked me up for my first day of work. Mm. And Eden brought me a cup of coffee and gave it to me. And this was also the day after I hadn't had power. And so I had gone to 5 different stores in the morning trying to get a store that had power that could make me a cup of coffee. Mm. And there was none. Mm. So coffee at this time was really it was a big deal. And so Eden brought me the coffee and then we all went to the KQ offices together and I was like, okay, I've got to go meet with HR. And Eden put his hand at the small of my back and like guided me towards HR. And I feel it was the start of a beautiful rom-com, a rom-com to come.
One in which Eden is not married.
One in which Eden is not married. One in which I am not married.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. I forgot about Jeff.
an alternate reality. Listen, mm-hmm. that was a really nice dream though. Mm-hmm. So those are my 2 Eden dreams. I hope the nighttime brings me more.
To help us get through this dark time.
Uh-huh. That's what the world needs.
So speaking of dreams, things mm. that we dream and wish and hope and pray for the boys. I am. We didn't talk about Sagittarius.
Oh, it's so good.
And what else? What is there to say? It's so good. I am obsessed.
I loved it
with that song. It's mm-hmm. possibly my favorite that we've gotten so far. Hard to say when there's only 3, and I don't really do favorites, but it's just I love it so much. I really
it's in
do
a, like a tear.
I hope that Hong Jun does what Eden did and compiles all of these into an album that we can buy, KQ.
God, that would be so
KQ,
good.
KQ, please. This is a money-making opportunity, KQ. You don't even have to, like, promo it. You just put it out there and we will buy it, I promise.
Put some fucking photo cards there.
I don't even care about the photo cards. If it was like Hong Joon with each member, and like that'd be cute though.
That would be cute.
If I could get like an OT7, I guess OT8, but Hong Joon times two.
Hong Joon's like in the one
standing with a mirror, like that one time we all thought they were giving us comeback hints, and it was just like a trend. So I'm very excited to see who's going to be next on the docket. Yeah. I'm excited to see what the vibe is going to be for different members. Mm-hmm. I would love it if Yeosung could be soon. Just really soothe his fans, but they're just going to get mad because they're going to be like, how come he never sings like this in the songs? And it's like, because he's singing with a group, you idiots, but whatever. But I'm excited to see who comes next. I think it'll be very fun.
We've got a new Jungho OST to save us too.
Right. When is that coming out? Do we know? Or is it just going to drop eventually? Know. Okay. Is the show even out yet?
I have no idea. I don't remember the name of the show. He's coming to save the world. So. Okay. So I was thinking about like the vibes I wanted for different members. So I was like going through my head and the members, and I got to Jungho and I was like, oh, he's got a new song.
He has a new song coming out. Yuno just did his Valorant live. That was very fun. I didn't watch it because it was at 4:30 in the morning for me.
Yeah.
Didn't realize that he was still streaming at like 7, 8:30 when I was up.
Yeah, it was like 4 hours.
Yeah. But that's normal for a video game stream. That's like
The thing that I really like about that for Yunho is it appears that Valorant like gave him an account so he didn't like have to dox his personal account. So like this was like a real collaboration with Valorant. They set this up for him to do, and afterwards or at the end he like thanked Valorant, so it's possible he even got a payday out of this. And if Yunho could get paid for playing video games, I think that would be so good for Yunho.
I am so on board with that. That would be so great. He also Boaster, who is the Valorant player who really likes 80s, he posted a picture of him setting an alarm to wake up for the stream, which was very cute.
That is so funny.
And he posted on Twitter, he was like, I really would love, you know, I'd love to, you know, duo sometime. And Yuno tweeted back through the official account, like, yeah, anytime. So fingers crossed they can make that happen.
That would be great exciting. Content.
Which you've talked about that before, about not like all of AT's doing some sort of streaming with one of the esports teams.
Yeah, I think that would be super fun.
I would love to see, I'd love to see some dance content from Yuno. I know that Aitanese have talked about this forever, and he seems deeply uninterested in posting that for us. But I think that would be very fun. I'm excited about their Japanese. They gotta have a Japanese comeback coming up soon, for sure. If we're following the patterns, but we're obviously not following the pattern, so who knows?
The only pattern is that there is no pattern.
There is no pattern, but it has been for the past couple of years that in the spring they release a Japanese and in the fall they release a Japanese. So
they have not been doing a lot of photo card events the last, 3 weeks?
It's been so nice. Except then they did drop those digis that I was like it was, I had just been thinking, and it was just before you came here, but I had just been thinking, wow, I haven't had to buy anything in a long time. That's so nice. And then like the next day, here comes KQ. Like, we got those digis that you specifically requested. I was like,
So, but it has been a hot minute since they released like a lucky draw or a fan call. And that usually means something's around the corner. Usually it means a Korean comeback. But
I am expecting one of those soon too. But I do think the babies are going to come back first.
I think so too, which I guess is why I'm a little like, it's weird that they haven't released any LDs, any POBs. Like, listen, I think it's great.
Yeah.
But KQ is usually up to the next comeback. They're here releasing POBs.
I would love it if they stopped that. I would love it if they're like, you know what? What if we just weren't doing that so much anymore?
I mean, what you're going to find is that there's a real diminishing return. I was trying to buy more Psykers, but then I couldn't buy more Psykers because I was buying so much 80s. Like, I just didn't have the funds to support two groups. And I think Psykers is really struggling. So if they want to get Psykers in a more stable place, they are going to have to stop pushing publishing so many AT's albums after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, yes, during the pre-order period, yes, when they're promoting it, but, like, having POB benefits up until the release of your next album, you can't do that if mm-hmm. you want me to look at your other group at all.
Because, yeah.
as you know, I barely bought any Psyker's last comeback because mm-hmm. I was in the middle of buying AT stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that KQ is learning that, like it's not an unending money bank.
Yeah.
And that the people who will support Psykers are probably the same people that are supporting ATs. So if you want to get them mm-hmm. to a more stable place, you're going to have to let Psykers fly a bit.
I know this is not the Psykers podcast, but I am really hoping for big things from their next comeback.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to be in the States this spring.
Yes, I got my tickets.
I also have my tickets. Very excited about that. They have a nice venue downtown, so they don't have to go to Duluth, so that's very exciting. A slightly smaller venue than the Duluth venue, mm-hmm. but nicer, and also not in Duluth. So I am very hopeful that this next comeback will make a splash.
Yeah.
And I'm hopeful because Jung-hoon will be back, and that's going to be a big yeah. deal, but I'm afraid it's only yeah. going to be a big deal for existing roadies.
Right.
But with the cancellation of their Asia tour.
Yes.
Which was very strange, and it felt like we mm-hmm. didn't really get a real explanation for that. But the cancellation mm-hmm. of their Asia tour really, I think, hurt them a lot.
Yeah.
The babies, they're obviously super bored. Like, they have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
They are scheduled for Wango Tango at yes. Huntington Beach, I think.
Which
coming
is
up,
great.
Whatever that is. That's great. That's
random,
exciting.
Random, but great.
We'll take it. We will take it.
Absolutely.
It just feels like they really hit a spot of a lot of bad luck, starting with, like, yeah. last summer when they got dropped from Kingdom for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then it feels like they just sort of have been nowhere, and they haven't had a comeback. I think they must have been planning for, if they had been planning to be on that Kingdom show,
mm-hmm.
then they probably didn't overplan for anything else to be going on at that time.
Yeah.
So their schedule, they really haven't had a lot happening since they released Watch Out.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time between comebacks for them. Like, mm-hmm. we're going
and
on.
And they need a comeback.
They need a comeback pretty desperately. And I think there's one coming. We've seen the hair has changed.
Yeah.
They've been just posting a ton of reels and TikToks like every single day.
Mm-hmm. So has AT's, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They've been posting a lot of reels.
Mm-hmm.
More than normal.
I do kind of feel like we need a little bit more cross promotion. I think it would do Zekers yeah. a lot of good if they were being seen with more AT's members, you know?
Yeah.
I think that would be good for morale. It'd be good for my morale. It would make me very happy. Oh, Sohyeon. Mm-hmm. Sohyeon is in KQ now, and that is a very yeah. exciting thing.
That is very exciting.
She's on vacation at the moment, but I'm excited to see what she's going to do. I would love yeah. to see some crossover content with her. We've already
ready
seen her with
Hongjun.
Ready
for the KQ family concert.
I've been asking and hoping and wishing and praying, and I don't know why they won't give it to me. So excited. I think there's some good things happening, but I do hope the babies are going to make it. It's a tough market right now. For new people.
It's a tough everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
The world is crazy. Purse strings be tightening. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people are on... Like, I independently decided I was going to be on a low-buy year, but then mm-hmm. I kind of, like, learned that everybody's on a low-buy year. We all mm-hmm. looked at the world, and we were like, perhaps.
You should probably start squirreling some things away.
So, you know, that makes it hard. Mm-hmm. It makes it hard to make money as an entertainment group, and I mm-hmm. do not think that Psykers is making money yet.
Mm-mm.
So I want that to turn around for them pretty desperately. I mm-hmm. love Psykers, even though they're not my main group. I still love them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still excellent music. So
yeah, but I think my official guess for the AT's comeback is May.
Mm.
That's my official guess. We're in March right now. I think for them to come back in May, if Psykers is going to come back first, we should be getting an announcement from Psykers this week.
Roadies have been expecting it for a couple weeks now. And
yeah.
every day we don't get it, it's like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Last time they only had 3 weeks between the announcement and the date. Mm-hmm. And then AT's also did a very short pre-order period. So we might mm-hmm. just be like tightening those up and like.
I mean, maybe, but one of AT's most successful albums, I would say Outlaw, probably mm-hmm. one of their most successful. Although Will did outsell Outlaw. So, mm-hmm. and Will also had kind of a long promo period, didn't it?
It did. One of the things that people say is you can tell how successful a comeback is by how much their next album sells. Mm-hmm. So people checking out Crazy Form after Outlaw. Mm-hmm. That yeah. could be why Crazy Form really sold well.
Yeah, but Outlaw had notably a very long promo period.
Huge promo period.
So many things going on. They really focused on Korea. Mm-hmm. But it was, of course, more internationally successful than it was Korean mm-hmm. successful. So I don't know if I want them to go back to a long promo period. Mm-hmm. I like the sort of blitzkrieg of mm-hmm. content. I love getting all of the photos in one day, like yeah, they did with so Golden nice. Hour Part 2. They just hit us with everybody all at once. That was great. Because photos, I like looking at the photos, but they're not like so exciting that I'm like satisfied by getting one boy and then being like, okay, well.
Honestly, too, like by the time you only get the real excitement when you're figuring out what the like look is gonna be, and that's like for the first two boys. So then mm-hmm. usually like Jungho's posted last and it's like, yeah, I'm excited to see Jungho, but like no one else is because they mm-hmm. want like we already know what the look is, so only yeah. like Jungho bias people are like waiting, counting down the days.
They usually post an OT8 first, and so we already know what every boy is wearing, and we're just yeah. getting like a close-up. But when they do everybody at once, it's yeah. like at least a little bit overwhelming, which is fun. Yeah. And yeah. I liked that they did the Secret Mansion. I thought that was yeah. a fun little game, a little distraction. But they got to bring the lore back. Sean, you got to bring the lore back. And I know we've already talked about this and we're sort of rehashing old material, but like the lore, please.
Well, you and I had kind of talked about if we got into ATs right now, would the lore be a turn on or turn off with the way that the world is right now? Mm. So I was thinking about this the other day, and I was like, I wonder if Sean has moved away from the lore a bit because the lore is hitting so close to home.
That would be so prescient. Prescient of Sean. I'm not Sean.
Maybe Sean's a lot smarter than me.
I think he is very, very smart. But I mean, the thing is that the lore itself has shifted and is no longer about a dystopian society. And now the lore is about boys who want to pursue their dreams, but are also satisfied with an everyday job. And like, mm-hmm. tell me that's not timely, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, I think a dystopian is bad right now.
Yeah.
I think it's good that we're done with the dystopian.
It is good that the world ended when it needed to end. Uh-huh. So I think we should move into some fantasy territory. That's what mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. I think whatever this red gem is that mm-hmm. Booyoung has, I want it to take us to somewhere fantastical. That's what I want.
Dragons. I've long been talking about dragons and ETs' lore. Like they're there.
Take a dragon. I'd even accept the sirens at this point. You want to bring on those sirens? I'll take them. Just give me something fun to talk about.